lovely to be with you again this evening for the preaching of the gospel. We're going to talk about indecisiveness. Now, if you want to see indecisiveness in operation, you just need to go with my wife when she's shopping. You know what it's like? You get in the supermarket and you're going right about there and she takes some off the shelf and she'll look, nah, and puts it back, nah, and she takes it down again. And you know what it's like when you go with women shopping? Well, we're going to look at indecisiveness and the need to make your mind up tonight. And I just want to read one little verse with you. It's found in 1 Kings and in chapter number 18. 1 Kings and in chapter number 18. If you've got a Bible and you can find 1 Kings, I normally struggle with some of these Old Testament books, I must admit. But if you can find 1 Kings, chapter number 18, you can follow the verse with me as we read it. It's verse number 21. 1 Kings 18 and 21, and it says there, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And all the people can run about there, and she takes some off the shelf, and she'll look, no, and puts it back, no, and she takes it down again. And you know what it's like when you go with women shopping? Well, we're going to look at indecisiveness and the need to make your mind up tonight. And I just want to read one little verse with you. It's found in 1 Kings and in chapter number 18. 1 Kings and in chapter number 18. If you've got a Bible and you can find 1 Kings, I normally struggle with some of these Old Testament books, I must admit. But if you can find 1 Kings, chapter number 18, you can follow the verse with me as we read it. It's verse number 21. 1 Kings 18 and 21, and it says there, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And all the people answered him, not a word. Let's read that little verse again. I want you to remember this verse tonight. "And Elijah came unto all the people and said," here's a question he asked, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him." Admit. But if you can find 1 Kings, chapter number 18, you can follow the verse with me as we read it. It's verse number 21. 1 Kings 18 and 21, and it says there, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And all the people answered him, not a word. Let's read that little verse again. I want you to remember this verse tonight. "And Elijah came unto all the people and said," here's a question he asked, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And all the people answered him, not a word. And the Lord will bless to us this evening this little verse from his precious word. You know what they say sometimes? There's quiz shows on the television and they'll say, it's make your mind up time, folks. And you know, that's what we want to say to you tonight. It's make your mind up time. Now, I don't know how often you've heard the gospel. And I want to remind you just in a minute or two what the gospel is. We did hear the chairman in his prayer reminding us about what the gospel is. And I'm going to use these verses that he quoted just to remind us all about what the gospel really is. But I don't know how many times you've heard the message of the gospel. And I don't know how many times in your own mind you've said, well, I'm going to leave it alone tonight. I'm going to do nothing about it. In actual fact, you see, these nights that you've heard the gospel and you understand that you are a sinner, that you've done that that has offended God. These nights that you've heard the gospel and you've heard how that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. You've heard how that He died upon the cross to save you from your sins. You've heard the preacher say that you must be born again, you need to get saved. And you've decided, well, I'm going to do nothing about it tonight. Well, in actual fact, you have done something about it. In actual fact, what you've done is you've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. You've said, no, I don't want nothing to do with you. And so tonight we want to be serious about this matter, because the issues that we're talking about, the matters that we're discussing tonight, are really serious issues, and they do affect you as much as they affect me. And there comes a point in all our lives when we need to make a decision as to what we're going to do with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that question was asked one day, what shall I then do with Jesus? And the folks that were there that day, they said, crucify him. We don't want this type of man reigning over us. My dear friend, you don't want to be in that category, I'm quite sure, tonight. You don't want to be among these folks that say, look, we just don't want anything at all to do with this man, Jesus Christ. I'm quite sure about that. And so let's have a look at what the Bible has got to say about this man, Jesus. And let's have a look at what the Bible says about the gospel. Because that's what we've come to tell you about tonight, is about the gospel of the grace of God. God's undeserved favor towards us in saving us from going to a lost eternity. And we're going to draw all that together as we speak for the next 20 minutes or so, and hopefully you'll be able to understand where we're coming from and where we're going. We said that you have to make your mind up with regards to this message that is preached from this platform every Sunday night, the message of the gospel. Now, you remember when our chairman was opening the meeting, he quoted these verses, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, that basically is the gospel in a nutshell. At dinner this evening in Stuart and Yvonne's, we're talking about Yvonne's late grandfather, Mr. Jack Hunter, a great man. And how that he hardly ever spoken the same thing twice. Well, I remember speaking in these verses that I've just quoted to you here from this platform maybe 2 or 3 years ago. 1 Corinthians 15, how that Christ died for our sins, Christ. My dear friend, there is a misconception in the world today about who this man who bears the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, really is. And, you know, it comes sometimes from so-called religious men, men who should know what the Bible teaches, but quite honestly, they don't have a clue. And some of these men would tell you that the Lord Jesus was just like you and I. He was born in Bethlehem, and he grew up, and he was misunderstood by so many people, and there came a point when the nation of Israel just rejected him completely, and they decided they wanted to get rid of him. Well, you know, there's more to it than that. The person that we preach to you tonight in the gospel, this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, because to me that's exactly what he is. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is the man, Jesus Christ. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Son of God. Now, do we need to explain who God is? You know, we're living in a world and it has many gods. But the Bible would teach me that there's only one God. There's only one God, real God, the true, the living God, the God of eternity, the God who ever was, Now that's difficult for us to get out of their minds, that something had no beginning and will have no end. But that's about the God that we're talking about tonight. He's the God of eternity. He's the God of forever. The God of creation. The God who made the heavens and the earth. This is the God whose Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the God who sent him into this world, born, as we were saying, in Bethlehem. This is the God who planned this great plan of salvation that we're about to talk about. And this is the God who loves you, my dear friend. Loves you so intensely. And he tells us in his word in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Do you feel the intensity of it? That's how much God loves you. He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can look at that two ways if you like. Some folks would say, he gave him into this world to be born in Bethlehem, and he did. But, as we've already indicated, some men would say he was just like you and I. He was born in the same way as you and I are born. Some would say he just reacted in the same way as you and I would react, but that's not true. This little babe that was born in Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus, was born completely different from you and me. You see, when I was conceived in sin. My parents were sinners. And I was born in sin. And I was shapen in iniquity, the Bible says. But when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, well, when he was conceived different from others. He was conceived by the Spirit of God, and he was born through the instrument of the Virgin. Now, there's nothing special about Mary. She was an honourable woman. But some folks would put her on a pedestal and say that she was sinless. She wasn't. She was a sinner, just like I'm a sinner, just like you are a sinner. But she was the person that God chose to bring into this world, his Son, the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus was born sinless. And he had a nature that could not sin. You know, when I was born, I was not sinless. And I had a nature that sinned. I can remember, as a little boy, some of the things that I did that were sins. I remember as a little boy using a word that I should never have used. I remember taking something that I should never have put my hands on. I remember, on one occasion, telling lies. These are all sins. Little things you might think. But these are the things that God hates. These are the things that are offensive to God. These are the things that the Lord Jesus Christ could never have done. Because he was holy. He was spotless, he was pure, he was completely different from everybody else that was ever born. And God sent his Son into the world because he loved us so much. And he was prepared to send his Son to Calvary. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him up to the death of Calvary. And all that that meant, and we'll talk about that just in a minute or two. So Christ died for our sins. The Son of God, who came from heaven into this world, who was exactly what God is, who told God out as he moved as a man amongst men, who was continually in the presence of God to find out what God wanted him to do. Are you that type of person? To my shame, I'm not that type of person, you know. But that's the kind of person that the Lord Jesus was. Doing always, the Bible says, the things that pleased his Father. He was sinless. And because he was sinless, he was able to go to the cross and to die for sinners. To die for somebody like me who had lied, who had stolen, who had blasphemed. And that just as a little boy. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. not because he had done anything wrong himself, because remember we've said that he was holy, he was without sin, he could not sin. And that's the reason he was able to go to the cross and to die for a wretch like me. And while he hung on that cross during these hours of darkness, after men had done their evil, wicked worst to him, the Bible says that God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. All these sinful things that we have done, God placed them upon the Lord Jesus and punished them for our sin. Hymn writer has said all our sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the cross. God who knew them laid them on him. And by believing, I am free. Christ died for our sins. He paid the price, a price that we could never have paid. The Bible says that no man could pay the ransom to God that God demanded that their souls might be delivered from going down to a lost eternity. It could only be paid in blood. And in the Old Testament, you'll read how that year after year after year, the high priest would go into the holiest of holies in the temple, and not without blood for his own sin and for the sins of the people. And the people would stand without in fear, and they would listen, and they would hear the bells and the garments of the high priest as he would come out from the holiest of holies, knowing that their sin had been covered for another year. But when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he removed my sin. He took it away completely. He can do the same for you tonight, my dear friend, because of the great price that he paid when he died on the cross. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried. You know, you don't bury somebody who's in a coma or somebody who has just fainted. People will tell you that he never died. I want to tell you, my dear friend, tonight, the man that we preach about, the Lord Jesus Christ, he died, and he died for your sins, and he was buried. And do you think that these Roman soldiers who were experienced with regard to death would have given them up to be put into a tomb if he hadn't have died? They made sure he was dead because they plunged that spear right into his side. Well, he was dead. And he was laid in that tomb. And the world thought, well, that's it, we'll never hear him, we'll never see of him again. It's finished, it's over, it's done with. But on the third day, the appointed day, the day that God had said, out from amongst the dead ones came the Lord Jesus Christ. He rose triumphant from the grave. He conquered all his foes, he conquered all his enemies. He conquered sin, he conquered hell, he conquered the grave, he conquered death. And he rose out from amongst the dead. Christ died for your sins. He died for my sin. He was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's, in a nutshell, the message of the gospel. How that God loves you. And he sent his son to die for you on the cross because we're sinners. And we could do nothing. We could do nothing to merit salvation in our own right. Nothing. The hymn writer has said, in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And so we've been presented once again, simply, with the message of the gospel. It's a message, my dear friend, and as I say, I don't know how many times you've heard it, but it's a message that you need to believe. And so there were issues that came before Israel in a day past, in the day of the prophet Elijah. And they had to make up their mind who the true, the living God really was. They were turning their back upon God. They were going in for other things. Are we not living in a day like that today? When the word of God and the things of God means nothing to people. They would rather be involved in other things and get involved in that really is not lasting and is not genuine. And Elijah, this great prophet of God, he comes to Mount Carmel and he says to the people, it says, Elijah came unto all the people. You know, that really means that Elijah came very close, very near, and very personal to all the people. And he asks them a question. He says, how long halt ye between two opinions? My dear friend, I want to say to you in the meeting tonight that God comes very close to you and he comes very personal to you tonight. You know, you'll remember how he came to young Samuel. He came to young Samuel personally and he called him by name. He said, Samuel, Samuel. My dear friend, he knows you tonight as an individual. He knows you in a very, very personal way. He knows all about you, as much if not more than you know about yourself. And he comes to you in a very personal, and in a very real, and in a very close way tonight. And he says to you through his Spirit, you're a sinner, and you need to be saved. You need to repent and to believe the gospel. I wonder if you've ever heard them speak to you. I wonder if you've ever sat in meetings like this in the past and you've listened to the message of the gospel and you've realized that you are a sinner. And you've realized that you need to be saved. And you've heard God speaking to you. And as we said at the beginning of the meeting, you've got up and you've walked out, thinking you've done nothing about it, but in actual fact you have done something about it. You've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. You've said no to the one who wants to save you from your sin and to save you from going down to a lost eternity. Because I want to say to you, and I've said this before here, hell is a real place. It's not a figment of somebody's imagination. It's not just a word that people use as a swear word. They use as an adjective, or even as a verb, sometimes even as a noun. I tell you, my dear friend, if you knew the reality of hell, you would never put the word on your lips. It's a terrible place. Place of torments. Place of isolation. A place of separation. And it's for those who die without Christ as their Savior. For those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, who don't trust Him as their own and personal Savior. And here you are in the meeting tonight, and I don't know you. And I don't know how many times you've heard the gospel. And the Spirit of God comes to you again tonight and says, you need to be saved. You need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that message comes very close to you, and it comes very personal to you, because that's how God acts. How long halt ye between two opinions? Basically, that means, how long are you going to skip over an issue you already know the answer to? The people in Elijah's day, they knew who the living God was. They knew who the real God was. They knew who the God of heaven was. It wasn't Baal. We tried to explain at the beginning of the meeting that there is only one God. The God of heaven, the God of eternity, the God of creation. And these people knew that. But something fanciful had come into their life. Some idea had filled their minds. And they were going to go in for that rather than for the real issues of life. And here is an issue presented to you tonight that I'm quite sure you know the answer to. You know who the living God is, who the true God is. You know how His Son came from heaven and how He died upon the cross to save sinners, and that you, like me, are a sinner and that you need God's salvation. And you're sitting here tonight and God comes to you very personally and very closely. And He speaks to you. And you're confronted with an issue. Either to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, confessing your sins, and to go on to know the joy of sins forgiven, to go on to know communion and fellowship with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ, to go on to know that someday, come weal or come woe, you'll be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Himself. Or you do skip over the issue once again, and you actually reject, you say no to the claims of the gospel. And you say no to the Lord Jesus. And you say no to God. and you go on in your sinful condition, knowing that you're bound for a lost eternity, knowing that you're bound for hell and eventually the lake of fire, knowing that you're bound for that place of complete isolation and separation and hopelessness. For you know, the Bible teaches me that those who arrive in hell don't get another chance. When it comes to the question of salvation, it's now that counts. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is God's day of salvation. The Bible teaches me that I have to boast not myself about tomorrow, because I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold for me. Oh, I've got plans made. I know where I'm supposed to be going tomorrow. But I don't know if I'll ever see tomorrow. I don't know about you, my dear friend. I don't know whether you're convinced that you will see tomorrow or not. If you should die without Christ as your Saviour, if you should once again this evening skip over this very, very important issue, this opinion, halting between two opinions, a matter that you really know the answer to. And if you leave this hall tonight and you make your way home, you are actually saying, I don't want nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. What do you say at this stage? But you might not get another opportunity. We don't want to be emotional. We want to be realistic tonight. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us. But we do know this. As we sit in these seats here tonight, we do know that we're sinners. And we know that God has made provision for our sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that He sent His Son to die for us, and we know that there is a way of escape. A way of escape from going down to that lost eternity. But we've got to be man enough. We've got to be woman enough tonight to acknowledge, not before us folks in the hall here, because we mean nothing. But you've got to be man enough and woman enough to acknowledge before a holy and a righteous God that you are a sinner. And you've got to be man enough and woman enough to acknowledge the fact that you can do nothing for yourself, but that Christ died for your sins. And He is the only one who can save you. He is the only one who can take that sin away. He is the only one who can make things right between you and God. So, the great prophet, in a day gone by, he came very near, very close. And it came very personal to all the people as individuals. And God is speaking to you tonight in a very personal manner. Close up, as it were. And He's saying to you, why do you halt between two opinions? Why are you trying to skip over making a decision about an opinion, about a matter that you really know the answer to? You really know that you need to be saved. You really know that you need your sins forgiven. You really know that you need to repent and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now we're going to close the meeting. And as we do so, I would like you to think about that verse again and think about its meaning. How long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to skip over making a decision about an issue, about a matter, that you already know the answer to? You know. You can't kid me. You know that you need to be saved. You know that there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I know that you know that. But you need to make that decision for yourself. You need to acknowledge that God loves you and that Christ died for you. And you need to come, as I had to come, and as others in this room have had to come, as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, if there is some other way, then you choose that other way. But if you choose that other way, it'll be to your eternal detriment. May God give you the grace tonight not to skip over this issue, but to make a decision to trust Christ as your Savior and know the joy, the real joy of sins all forgiven and of Christian life, which is something absolutely wonderful, to live now, to enjoy now, and that will, in the great eternity that's to come, open up into absolute marvels. For the Bible says that the eye hath not seen, neither hath the ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. How long halt ye between two opinions? Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we're so conscious that we have been reminded again this evening of the great eternal issues, and that there is a choice that we need to make in our lifetime that will bring either benefit and blessing or will bring condemnation in the great eternity that's to come. We thank thee that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. We thank thee that he now sits at the right hand of God on high. We thank thee that he is still willing and able to save right through to the very uttermost all that will come unto him. We pray, our God, tonight that there will be those who in our company who up until this moment in time have never trusted Christ for salvation will not skip over that great issue any longer, but they'll make that decision tonight to trust the Lord Jesus for salvation. So we just commit the issues of the evening to thee. Seek thy blessing now as we separate, giving thee thanks for thy precious word, giving thee thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do so in his alone ever valued and precious name. Amen.